Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Ladies Talking Leaves. I'm Chris.
And I'm Syl.
And want to wish everyone out there a happy new year and hope everyone had a good Christmas or happy holiday. And I hope you enjoyed the holiday special episode that we had last month. And from our Christmas gift guide that possibly you got the ultimate gift for the, or an idea anyways, At least if you got a gift, an ultimate gift for the Leaf fan in your life, we hope it helped you anyways a little bit.
Well, we both of us got some nice Leaf gear this year, but of course the best present of all is that the NHL is back. Woohoo!
Yes.
On December 20th, the league announced that they made an agreement with the players to return to the ice with opening nights scheduled for January 13th. So that's basically, give or take, a week or so from when we're recording this episode.
Yeah, so most exciting, too, is that there's the newly created North Division, which is made up of the seven Canadian teams. And, we're really looking forward to the rivalries that are going to be, we're going to be building on. Maybe that Habs-Leafs rivalry will come back again a little bit because it's been kind of down the last few years. But we've got quite a bit of Leaf talk to get to. But before we do, we want to ask our listeners for a bit of a favor.
I think most of our listeners know we're always trying to find ways to improve and grow our show. And one of the ways that we can do that is to have our listeners submit a review. So once you are done listening to this episode, if you wouldn't mind submitting a review or star rating our podcast, we would really appreciate it. So now let's go through what we're going to talk about in this episode. So obviously we're going to be saying good riddance to 2020, but we're going to send the year off right with talking about the three top Leaf players that we felt, were really stood out for 2020. We're also going to have another Heads Up Ladies segment where we're going to give you a quick league update, noting some important dates and other changes that are upcoming for the season. We're going to talk about training camp, of course, and what's gone on the first few days of camp. And for those of you who entered our holiday giveaway, we're going to announce the winner of our fantastic prize pack from our friends at Summerfresh. Summerfresh products are handcrafted in small batches and made with simple ingredients like the ones you have in your own kitchen.
So happy New Year, Leafs Nation. Let's talk Leafs. Okay, so we're going to be sending off 2020 with the choosing of our top three players based on listening to each of our episodes from 2020. That was quite the process that we went through to listen to all the episodes. And we basically, from all the information that we gathered and did for all of our episodes, we came up with the top three players. So not in any necessarily in any order, but we're going to go with William Nylander first. So Nylander, he played 68 games, 31 goals, 28 assists, which obviously he was much better than the previous year, which was the year that he, held out for the couple of months for his contract. And I think Syl is actually a little bit more of a Willie fan than me, but I was actually convinced a little bit the other way after reading an analytics article where they were basically comparing Mitch and Willie and from last season and which one of these players has the better upside. And They actually projected Willie as having the better upside between the two players. Yeah. And so that link actually, or that the link to that article is in our links of the show notes. So if our listeners want to check it out afterwards.
Maybe that will convince a few other people also.
Yeah. Yeah. I was convinced a little bit, like just looking at numbers and and it was quite detailed. So not to say Mitch has his, I guess positives obviously as well, sort of thing. But, everybody, I think, is thinking Willie is, again, I think I've said this before, it's just his demeanor a little bit and his defensive part of the game maybe isn't that great. And he's not a guy to go like into the corner and get the puck and that sort of thing. But then he's very dangerous in other parts of his game. And the last season, mainly in how you mentioned it, Syl, in a couple of our episodes last year, actually, to say that he was going to the front of the net more to get his scoring opportunities. And in that article, it actually showed that. And so he was going, this last season stats showed that there was quite a bit of a difference between Nylander and Marner when it comes to goals for in the high danger area.
Yeah, so, that's like if you look at the heat maps where they show like, where the player is and shots from and stuff like that. That's basically seems like that's Nylander's office. Yeah. You know, where he kind of likes to hang out.
Yeah, the way they worded it is that they said that he is lethal when he gets the puck in front of the net. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but what did you think of Willie overall from your thoughts?
Well, I think some of those ideas and some of maybe the criticism or why people would sometimes choose Marner over him is that's where, you've got analytics on one side and then you've got the eye test on the other side. And so they have very different style, obviously. I would say that last year, though, too, wasn't one of Marner's best seasons, even though, if he went the whole season, he was probably going to end up with a similar points total. But something in his game was, eye test wise, not really the same. He didn't kind of have that same flair. He didn't kind of have that same joy. And I think that Nylander had a little bit more of that. But overall, I think both of these players, and especially Willie, is going to be judged, for better for worse on how he performs in the playoffs. And I think all anybody's looking for from him for this year is more of what he did last year. And we'll see if that makes a difference if he's playing with, VC and Tavares this year, for example. VC is a big body and Tavares is also no slouch as far as that goes too. So he may get even a little bit more room than he was getting last year. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. But so Willie, anyways, he was number first pick from last season.
I definitely agree that he was a standout last year for sure.
Yeah. And then the next guy we got is Zach Hyman. Mm-hmm. So Hyman, he missed the first 19 games of last season, recovering from the torn ACL from the previous playoffs. And I'm sure everybody in Leafs Nation can picture him on one leg taking the face off against Boston in the, which Mike Babcock decided to keep playing him, and he, with the torn ACL and everything, and he managed to get as good a job as he could get done. But the guy is just, he's an energizer bunny is how I refer to him as. He has the energy, he's consistent, he's versatile. He played on almost every line, 1 through 3, last year. We noted it on many of our episodes. And this year he's going into his contract year. So we'll see. Some of the talk, I guess, is as to how it's going to affect with all these new player additions this year, how it's going to affect him and where he's going to be slotted in the lineup and his role. But I don't know. I think he's, you always know what you're going to get from him. He's from Toronto and I I think Austin Matthews, it's one thing that Mike Babcock, I think, definitely got right when he was saying about.
True.
He was a huge fan, a Zach Fyman fan, when everybody else was like, why don't you put somebody else with Austin Matthews and William Nylander or Marner or whatever, like, right? But yeah, no, he's, and he benefits from playing with them as well. I mean, he had the, he had the 21 goals and 16 assists, right? And yes, the 21 goals was the career high. So, yeah. What'd you think of?
Well, obviously I'm a fan, and I think he's definitely, you know, it's just like, you know, in baseball, you got certain guys that are utility guys. And I would say, you know, in hockey, that's sort of the role that, that he fills, is that I think he's a guy that you can pretty much slot up and down the lineup, and you know what you're going to get from him. So I know last year they tried him with Kerfoot. I think they're going to try it again. Last year, it was a very short-lived experiment, but obviously I think this year with proper training camp and stuff, maybe they're going to give it a little bit more time, although really, you know, there's not a lot of time to spend on experimenting, because if things are not going well, I think you, with the short season, you have to pull the trigger pretty quickly.
But they're trying to get, they're basically trying to get a shutdown line, I think,
yeah,
is what they're saying, right? And that's why they might give him and Kerfoot and Mikheyev that trio. Yeah. They might give them a little bit extra time to get it going.
So it may not end up being a career year for him offensively, because his role is going to be a little bit different. But I think that he's a trusted soldier on this team for sure. Yeah. And yeah, I think that contract wise, I'm really hoping that, I have a feeling that he does want to stay here. And of course, the Leafs will want to keep him. So if hopefully they'll be able to come to some sort of agreement that is works for both sides to be able to keep him here.
Yeah, they got, in my opinion, they got to try and keep players, like at least some players. I mean, you got rid of Naz, you got rid of Tyler Bozak, and you JVR. Like, those were all kind of guys, they're from the old regime, I guess, or old team, but they're guys that loved being Leafs. Mm-hmm. And this is another guy that loves being a Leaf.
Right? Yeah, and truly, he's not that old. And all the other guys that they've brought in that love being Leafs, they're
Yes,
guys. So really, how long are they going to last, right? So
That's right. Yeah.
You got to keep some guys around that are, you know, more local and really, you know, get what it means to be here, right? So I kind of feel.
And and then next, of course, is everybody's favorite, Austin Matthews.
Yep.
I don't know what we can say that everybody else says, but okay, he ended off with 47 goals, 33 assists.
He was robbed.
Yes, yeah. 3 goals shy of 50, which is the only thing that hurts, basically. But as a centerman, he's getting better defensively with how he checks. And like I miss when we were going to the games, we used to see him, like, his stick work to check somebody, and then he just turns it right around and is going the other way, basically, right? It's just, it's unbelievable how he can do it.
Yeah, his takeaways, that is a very special skill that he has, that he can just basically rob guys all over the ice. And
And turn it around into offense.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then I still look forward to that.
Yeah, last season he worked on his one-timer. Mm-hmm. So as I was listening to another little video on him, it's another thing in his toolbox, as they worded it, another thing. And another thing for opponents to worry about. And he's only 22 years old, so he can only get better as he keeps practicing, and he's which is scary, basically. As one other person said, it's terrifying to say that he actually can get better and will get better.
I know.
But what'd you think of AM34?
Obviously, you know that I have nothing but glowing things to say about him, and he's so exciting to watch. I saw like a super short video of him. It must have been when he was still in Arizona, and he like did some move and scored on the goalie and just some stupid scrimmage thing that they were doing. But it was just so beautiful. I was just like, oh, I miss seeing that so much. And I can't wait to see that again, like in, you know, full speed on the ice in game action. He's just so talented and so fun to watch. And like you said, like the sky's the limit for him. And it's, I don't know, like it's unfathomable what he is going to, you know, end up becoming. And I actually wonder if this year, like, you know, if he can pull off getting his 50 anyways, even if it's a short season. Like, I mean, like no one's going to go out on a limb, and I'm sure I'm not going to be the first one to try to do that and say he's definitely going to do it. But it's in my mind that maybe he could do it.
50 and 39? I heard that.
I heard somebody say that too. And but you know what? You know, will I say that yes, he will do it? No, I won't go out on a limb and say that. However, it's not an impossibility. It could happen. He could do it. He is the type of player that is talented enough to pull off something like that. And frankly, the Leafs in their history have never had anybody as talented as him. Never. Yeah. Like, Mats was good. This guy, he's going to blow the pants off Mats in the end. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's just going to happen. Sorry for all those Sundin fans that are probably going to click us off. But anyway, but it's just the truth.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. But
anyway, so no doubt these three players are all super important to our roster going into this upcoming season. And that's going to start on January 13th against the Habs. So, hopefully that's going to definitely renew the rivalry. I mean, already on Twitter, it's kind of going a little bit nuts.
Oh, yeah.
I think people are so hockey starved, it's kind of already starting. Yeah. But there are a few changes that are happening in the league that they've introduced for the season. So now we're going to do just a little quick dive into that review and give you a heads up on what to look for in the game. So heads up, ladies, this is what's coming up.
Yeah, so obviously the season start January 13th is opening night for the regular season. And then April 12th is the trade deadline. May the 8th is the last day of the regular season. Then May 11th, the Stanley Cup playoffs begin. And then July the 9th is the last possible day of the Stanley Cup final.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that is so to try to avoid any kind of conflict with the Olympics, which
should they go on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So after that, the off season stuff coming up July 21st is the expansion draft for the Seattle Kraken. July 23rd will be round one of the NHL draft, and July 28th will be the RFA UFA signing period, which will start at noon that day. So another couple of important dates, as we mentioned earlier, because of the border restrictions. This season we'll have for the first time an all-Canadian division, the North Division, consisting of the seven Canadian teams, as we mentioned. So the league just announced today, actually, that they're going to have sponsor names, which, you know, they got to recoup some revenue somewhere, I guess.
Yeah.
So is kind of yucky that sounds. This is the way it's going to go. So the West is going to be the Honda West Division. Here in the North, it's going to be the Scotia North Division, the Discover Central, and the Mass Mutual East. So every team is going to play each other up to 10 times, and the top four teams of each division are going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, when it comes to those naming of those divisions, I'm just sticking to the Northwest, Central, and East.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure most people are going to do that. Yes. Unless Scotiabank is willing to pony up some dollars, then we'll use the name. I have no problem using the name if Scotiabank wants to sponsor us. So anyway, we'll wait for that call to come through.
Yeah, and when it comes to that the schedule itself, I guess it's more like it's going to be kind of like a baseball schedule. Mm-hmm. In that each team is going to play each other two or three times in a row.
Yeah, I think for people that are not so far removed from the AHL, it'll be a little bit more familiar to them because they're going to be playing, you know, we're going to be playing a team maybe three or four times kind of in a row. back to backs and stuff like that to reduce the need for travel and such. So
I'm already picking a dud game for the Leafs, just so that.
Okay.
It's April 13th. I looked at the schedule, April 13th versus the Flames.
Uh-huh.
They're playing the Habs the night before.
Oh, so yeah. On that's April 12th. A letdown. That's a letdown waiting to happen because they're playing. So where is that? Are we playing in Montreal or here? But then we have to travel.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
And
I think it's actually in Montreal, that one.
Uh-huh.
So they're going from the Bell City. So that's my dud game. That's the only one when I was looking at the schedule, I was saying, okay, I'm willing to give them that one. And that's it.
I did find too, looking at the schedule, how they split up our games with Montreal. Like we play them a little bit at the beginning and then a lot more at the end.
Yes.
So crafty that way. Eh?
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. At the same time, I mean, I'm going to miss a little bit of not seeing the obviously, like the original six teams and like Chicago's and the Rangers and obviously the top teams in the like Tampa and of course our rivals in Boston. But anyhow, we'll see how it goes with this.
What do you think of the idea that was floated out? I think it was Justin Bourne who floated out the idea, and I actually really thought it was very creative and will make things a lot more interesting of the having a Prime Minister's Cup awarded for the Canadian division, for the North division. I mean, there's a President's Trophy.
Yeah. Right?
Why couldn't they? Because I know like even in MLS, you know, for the Canadian teams, they have a certain trophy or championship that they play for. It doesn't affect anything to do with the rest of the league. And it wouldn't affect, you know, whether or not they could qualify for a President's Trophy. But why couldn't they have, you know, bragging rights for the North? What do you think of that idea?
I heard that. I actually didn't hear it to say that they were going to chart like what they're going to call it, like to say that it's Prime Minister's Cup or whatever. Yeah. But I think it's. It's the thing is, I'm pretty sure this is just going to be a one-time thing, unfortunately.
Yeah, makes it even better that they, you know, there's going to be asterisks. They may as well have something, some bragging rights with it.
Yeah, and they can never take it away from us because we're
going to 100%. Get it on course, exactly. Right? It's going to stay in Canada forever and ever.
No, I mean, it'll never come away from the Leafs because we're going to win it.
Oh, yeah, we're going to win it.
Right. And we'll just have bragging rights forever sort of thing. Right. We can say, forget about your 24 Stanley Cup hat fans. We got the Prime Minister's Cup. So there.
Yeah, I like that. The only other thing that scares me a little bit with this Canadian division is that because we've got a little less variety of the games we're playing. And I think this follows for everybody in it is that I think, you know, partway through the season, I mean, it's just not a long season. So, I mean, how bored can you get? But I'm just kind of worried about the ability to ramp up once we're into like playoffs, for example. Like, even if we say we do win, say knock on wood,
we
win the division.
Yeah.
I'm just worried that I don't know about the quality of night in, night out competition. If that's, do you know what I mean? I'm worried that the intensity, even though there will be rivalries, I don't know. That's I still, because I'm a Leaf fan, these kind of thoughts sort of creep in and it does kind of concern me a little that, you know.
See, that's why we have guys like Jake Muzzin and Joe Thornton now and Wayne Simmonds. They're going to all
keep their head in the game.
Take care of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like even Muzzin, the quote today that he had, it was great. I love it. He just says it's time to make a big step with this group and push for a championship. He just put it right out there. That's what he said. And I'm like, yeah, I'm like, just be vocal about it and you just got to do it. I like seeing this Canadian division. So, yeah, and then there's the change the offside rule. Are you going to go through that?
Beginning this season, obviously, the player's skate will not have to be in contact with the blue line in order to be onside. So we're going to have hopefully a lot less of those replays and delays to determine whether or not a person's skate was over the line.
The blue
so
line,
like it
yeah.
can be lifted up. As long as it's, I guess, in line with it, they would still be considered onside. Which, I mean, God, that should give Austin Matthews at least another, I don't know how many zone entries a game and how many goals. Yeah. He can definitely add about five probably to what he normally would get based on that.
Yeah. Yeah. And basically, I mean, the perfect example was last night's game with Russia and Team Canada with the juniors. They had the offside skate video thing or whatever. And I was just thinking to myself, we're going to be talking about this tomorrow. Thankfully, they're changing this in the NHL. We're not going to have this stupid video where we're waiting 10 minutes for the refs to do the call. But
well, it's just going to be harder for the coaches to decide to make that challenge, right? Because it'd have to be very clear. Like right now, it's easier for them to try to make that call because they can see if the skate is a little bit raised, and then they'll call it. But now, like, you won't necessarily be able to tell as quickly. So,
yeah. So another update with the NHL and their 56 game schedule coming back is the taxi squad. So every NHL team is going to carry a taxi squad of 4 to 6 players throughout the schedule. And it must include a goalie unless the team carries 3 goalies on its NHL roster. So we'll see with ours if... depending on what happens with the AHL, but I mean, we have the three, actually we have Hutchinson as the protection. That's what it is. We have the 4 goalies now, mm-hmm. sort of thing. So we should be okay in that regard. But if you want more information on the taxi squad in our show notes as well, you can find a link to a Sportsnet article that, that gives some interesting details about this taxi squad and how it can help us with the salary cap too. Sorry.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
Yeah, so
because players are going to be able to go up and down between games, 4 games. Plus, I mean, we've already heard today that there's an injury in camp with Kerfoot. Don't know how serious it is, but I have a feeling with the quick ramp up, there's just going to be a lot more need for that. And of course, coronavirus is always in the back of everyone's mind. So we're going to definitely need players available to be able to step in.
Yeah. So, there's quite a few changes to keep in mind for this upcoming season. And, that's what we got for you on that segment. And the Leafs just opened training camp this past Sunday to prepare for the season. And there's quite a bit of change for Sheldon Keefe and his staff to evaluate and experiment with before opening night. So, Syl, who are the key additions for this training camp?
So, key additions, Wayne Simmonds, TJ Brody, Joe Thornton, Aaron Dell, Jimmy Vesey, and Zach Bogosian are the notable additions.
Yeah, and then the subtractions are Tyson Barrie, Andreas Janssen, Tyson Barrie went to Edmonton, Andreas Janssen went to the Devils, and Kasperi Kapanen went to Pittsburgh, along with Cody Ceci, our favorite guy. He went to Pittsburgh, so Sid can deal with him now. And Kyle Clifford is gone to St. Louis, and then Frederick Gauthier, the GOAT, managed to sign a PTO with Arizona, so he's with Phil Kessel fishing down there. So with Phil, our favorite guy. Yeah, so, I noted here, first and foremost, it's great that everyone is healthy, and of course, we had the first injury, like you said, with Kerfoot going down just today. And that's where we just talked about with the taxi squad, it's definitely going to be used. I have a feeling, depending on how long that injury is, like, obviously he's supposed to be penciled in as a third line center. So I would think Spezza might go up to the third line, and then like Engvall or maybe Robertson could be one of the ones that go up to the fourth line, I guess, from the taxi squad, that kind of thing. Like, I don't know. It depends on how long he's injured, or Thornton could drop down as well.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So because that's the other interesting thing that everybody is talking about is the fact that Thornton is playing, was given the, I guess, the wing position with Matthews and Marner, right?
Which, so, I guess that's, if you're thinking of what's like the first standout thing of the first couple days, that's kind of the first surprise is him being on the wing. Kind of reminds me of the days when they first had Marlowe and Marlowe played up with Matthews. So I guess it's the same sort of idea. Except that Thornton is like, you know, he's a quintessential premier passer, center basically. And premier passer.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think of that whole situation with him up there?
Like, I think Sheldon Keefe kind of confirmed it in his after the first skate on Monday. Like, he's going to be managing his minutes. It's not like he's going to be on the top line all the time. So mm-hmm. I personally think it's just, I mean, none of these new guys, like, they all need to get adjusted to the team, right? They need to get adjusted to all the new players that they're going to be playing with now. And I just think that they're giving him that extra time up there to kind of, for the power play, I think for the power
definitely.
Play.
Definitely. Oh, totally. Well, yeah, because if you think about it, they have a really short period of time where they can kind of see what these new guys have and where they can fit. So like, for example, even with the defensive pairings and stuff, like a lot of people are talking about how Dermott's been, you know, dropped down. Well, mm-hmm. they know what they have in Dermott. So I think they want to see more of these new guys playing up and playing in different situations because they need to see them and what they can do and how they're going to slot in with different people. So yeah, to me, that makes a lot of sense if they're, you know, wanting to see how like that, having them play together more is going to give them more chemistry on the power play than just, you know, for example, putting them in together on a power play or just practicing power play drills. Right. So
yeah,
this is going to give them like more sense of timing. Bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Playing regularly a little bit with the 5-on-5, as long as you mentioned once, as long as Joe can keep up.
Yeah.
but I'm sure it's almost like I heard too, it's almost kind of like the way Jaromir Jagr played with Barkov and Huberto mm-hmm.
right.
in Florida. Somebody mentioned that today. I was listening and Jagr obviously at that time wasn't the most quickest players either at that time of his career sort of thing, but he managed to
if they're still quick with their mind then they can still do a lot, you know, because they can make sure they're in the right spot and they can, you know, dish to the person who we want scoring, which is obviously going to be Austin. The only thing that I wonder is how this will affect Mitch's game, because you now have two playmakers, and I think the idea is if they're playing with Thornton, then, you know, they want Mitch also working more on his offensive game as opposed to just being the playmaker all the time, right? So they want him to kind of add that dimension, work on that.
And the other thing, too, is, I guess, which we didn't mention earlier in our update, there is no exhibition games.
No.
Right? So this is why it's kind of like, you got to find the opportunity with these 10 days or so with this camp. You got to try and have your team set mm-hmm. in a way, pretty much to say this is what they're going to go with and have the taxi squad. And Keefe has already separated those two groups out. And I guess have some sort of set lineup like that. And then, barring injuries and stuff, go with that and then make adjustments along the way. That's all you can mm-hmm. that's all you can do. And that's where like the depth is definitely gonna be needed, let's just say, especially on the D. But the mindset of the team, based on the interviews, we both listened to all the like player coach interviews. Anything stood out for you from any of the players? I have a few.
I feel like I loved Simmons' interview. It's just, he seems so almost like a little starstruck a little bit. It was really cute, you know, how
the comment that I love,
but he just seemed like a young man, like just, it brought out that in him, you know, like just,
Didn't you love the comment where he said he looked in the glass?
Yeah.
And he said,
I still look good in blue. I know. I love that. Yeah. I mean, these guys are going to add definitely a dimension to the dressing room for sure.
Yeah.
So I love that. I definitely. I liked, I liked Willie's interview too. He's just, I was like, never change, Willie. Never change.
Yeah, that's, he has quite the, just, he's got quite the flow going again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, I like Simmons as well. Like, he also said another quote from him is, it's an honor and a pleasure to put on the blue and white.
Yeah.
Like, he gets it, basically. And we mentioned that earlier with him and Thornton being the older guys that are basically from the area. And then the other one that was interesting was Frederick Anderson.
I was just going to mention that, too. So go ahead.
Yeah, what were you going to say about him?
Well, I was just going to say that, I mean, he's Freddie's Freddie. And I just love his attitude going in and how he just, he doesn't, you know, they tried to poke at him with the contract business and he's just not having any of it. So for all accounts, it sounds like he's looking great. And anyway, it's not November, so yeah, should be good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I liked his comment as well. The way he said, if he plays well, it's good for the Leafs and him.
Yeah. Basically. 100%.
Right. Mm-hmm. So he's looking at it in a good way. And in a way, I think too, like these other, having these new guys, like it has, yes, they were poking at him a little bit with the contract, but they, I think the media was kind of diverted to all these little fun comments from Wayne Simmons and, mm-hmm. and Willie. And Willie talking about Rasmus Sandin and his how he said, oh, well, he was training with me, so he had to be good, right?
Like, yeah, I did find it interesting that, you know, not like, I guess JT is JT.
Yes.
So not much really came out of his interview as far as, you know, stuff that was like so quotable or whatever.
Yeah.
People are focusing on like the new guys, like you said. He seemed, you know, like he came off sounding like, you know, a leader and,
it's very him. That's just the way he is. It's almost totally. Like he's, I guess.
Well, even the setting. So he's in his office and I'm like, yeah. So it's just, it just kind of, that sort of says it all, right? You
know, yeah.
With his, with his golf shirt, and it just was very, you know, just really, just very formal.
Conservative, basically, conservative. And that's just the way he is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that's him. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
It made me smile so much, though, watching all of these guys. Like, even when I saw, like, Marner's interview, I mean, he said everything that you would expect him to say, but I was just, like, so happy to see them talking and, you know, talking about what they're, you know, thinking about for the season and excitement and all of that. So,
yeah. And I liked Keith's interview as well. So like he put it out there that things are going to be different this season. Like in last year in a couple of our episodes, like we were talking about how he was trying to, I guess, make it more fun or whatever. And he said in this interview too, that it is supposed to be fun, but it's not like a country club atmosphere, basically.
Right.
Like, you know, they're here to do something. And he's basically, so he put them through a bag skate a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Once yesterday, the first day he put it at the start of practice. And then today he put it at the end of practice. So
that's the worst.
Yeah. So, so anyway, so
he said he wants to keep them uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. So I liked that as well.
And would you say, like, God, like he's ultra prepared. You can tell that he's been doing his homework all break long. And I still like that he's obviously experimenting. He's not afraid to try different things or unexpected things. And that's all I can ask for, really.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's definitely going to, in this schedule, and because they don't really, I mean, we haven't played a lot of these teams in this North Division.
True.
Like, it's going to be new experience for
him. Well, especially
him
playing them as much as we're going to play them. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but he's definitely prepared. You can tell that he has everything set for now anyways. Mm-hmm. And then, like we said, you'll have to be doing the adjustments along the way. But what do you think about the, we talked about the Thornton thing a little bit, but with the lion combinations, the other lions with, and the D pairings, like...
Mostly the D pairings are as expected. I mean, I think the thing with Dermot, you know, not really being in the top six, I think that is, you know, they want to kind of light a fire under him. Yes. But I also think that part of it is just they want to see the other guys. And I guess Lettinen, they definitely want to see what he can do because by all accounts, you know, when they hire or sign a European player, they're not signing them to come here and sit on the pine, right?
Yeah.
So they want to see what he can do.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's that Barabanov as well. Yeah. That's on the fourth mm-hmm. line that nobody's right. really talked about. But
yeah. And there's a lot of, by all accounts, like he's impressed quite a lot as well with his energy and compete level. So that's,
and it looks like,
that's what they're looking for this year, compete level. So
another guy that's similar to JT, I guess, is TJ Brody.
Oh yes. He's very quiet. So he's like the defense version of him.
I think he had the least amount of minutes in his interview. Like, I think he was like at almost 3 minutes. Everybody else was at least 4 or 5. And he was like 3 minutes, and just the way his demeanor is, that's just the way he is.
And one of the things I loved about what he said in this bio, I think this is what he's like, is he's a guy that's going to defer. So he's all about making his teammates better. And so he had a lot of great things to say about Riley and even comparing him to Giordano and as far as how good he is. So if he could turn him into a Norris Trophy candidate like he did for his other partner, I'm cool with that.
So
I think that's how he, obviously that's a big part of how he measures his personal success. Obviously I can't speak for him, but you know, he definitely seems to be a big part of his game. A big part of his mindset is making the other people that he plays with better. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So who are we most looking forward to seeing in the camp?
Well, first of all, I'm looking forward to seeing something. And I guess it seems like we have to wait until the games actually start because there's almost like no video coming out or anything, which I'm super disappointed with. Yeah. But as far as obviously I am looking forward to seeing AM94 hit the ice again, because I think he hasn't said a lot about it, but I think he feels robbed last year. Because honestly, I think he would have pulled it off in the end.
I definitely think he would have got to 54 goals to at least tie Rick Vive's record. But
and the other thing is they haven't really talked much about what he worked on this summer.
Mm-hmm.
But I did hear too that he dropped some pounds as well. So
oh, really?
He got fit in a different way. Yeah.
Oh.
So I'm like curious to see what he has added to his game. Because it's always exciting.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to, I want to see Mitch, you know, take up on another level. I want to see all these guys on the ice for the first time wearing the blue and white. I'm actually feeling like already emotional just thinking about that. Like I remember, you know, when we saw JT get the captaincy at the very first game last year, that feels like friggin' a lifetime ago now.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was emotional, and it was emotional the first time he wore the blue and white. You know, when these guys come into the fold and it's new for them and it's special, you know, I can't wait. I'm excited for that, you know?
Yeah. Well, they're hoping that fans will be in the building. I don't know. And like, in the mm-hmm. springtime, like Dubas said that in his interview. But
I know, but I really think that the government has to do a better job with the vaccinations for that to be able to happen. And they're not rolling that out very quickly. But, you know, that we're talking about March, April. So maybe by then things will be,
by playoffs, basically, maybe is what they're hoping. But I'm looking actually forward to this line of VC with Tavares and Nylander.
I had no idea that he was that big a guy.
Yeah.
I had no idea. He's almost as big as Austin. he's a little bit more slight.
Yeah.
But he's like same height, almost the same weight.
Yeah, because so I just remember once he didn't sign with Nashville and he got traded to Buffalo, his rights and everything after mm-hmm. finishing college, like he didn't want to go and play for Nashville and they traded his rights to Buffalo. And
no, then, I think he played for the Rangers first and then he went to Buffalo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, but he was sought after. Like he was very like,
no, I know. Teams. The Leafs wanted him too at that
time. Yeah, at the time. So I'm interested to see what. Hopefully they can build some chemistry there. And Willie said that, I guess over the past week or so that they've been chatting and trying to just pick each other's brains about the different techniques that they have and ideas and stuff like that. So hopefully eventually that they transfer that to the ice. And like you said, with JT Tavares, he somehow makes every player better. So
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, you don't notice him that much, but he does all the work there in the center of the ice.
Yeah, and, he can pretty much make almost a star out of Matt Molson. I'm pretty sure somebody with the intensity that VC seems to have, and he seems like he kind of has a lot of drive to prove something. So I agree that that's definitely going to be somebody to watch there.
Yeah. And then I was surprised about Dermott. I know it's like from what Keith was saying or kind of indicating, it's not like because you were here last year, like automatically this year, you're going to be in the top six or on the team sort of thing, right? Like it doesn't necessarily always work that way, but, I just thought that he would be placed with Lettinen, I guess. I thought Bogosian would have been the guy. I know they brought him in to play, but I just thought being the older guy that he would be more on the outside. But I don't know.
They may kind of trade games.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Like,
and at D, it's definitely, I mean, we saw that in with Columbus, like with the injuries and like even like when we played Columbus and the injuries on defense, that's mm-hmm. I think the position that always you need the most depth at
for sure
to have that. So we probably will even see good old Marty Marincin is still with us. So
yeah,
we might even see him at some point in the 56 games.
Yeah.
But let's hope not too much, but we definitely need that depth. And of course Rasmus Sandin is another kid that he'll be in the picture as well. He might get some minutes too. So
all accounts, Willie says that he's put on some size and he's worked pretty hard over the summer, so
yeah, he's working out with Willie, so it's got to be good.
So
let's get on with our contest now, because I'm sure a lot of people are waiting.
Once again, we want to thank the people at Summer Fresh for partnering with us for this contest. So Summer Fresh, their products are available. You can find them in the refrigerated deli section of your favorite grocery store, or visit summerfresh.com to learn more about their products and to get some fantastic recipe ideas. Okay, so drum roll, please. And the winner is at Feist Laura. That's her handle on Instagram, at Feist Laura. You are our winner of our holiday contest. So congratulations.
Woohoo.
So we're going to DM you just to confirm all your details of your prize. It's actually a pretty awesome prize.
It's
valued at about $80 and you're going to get lots of cool Summer Fresh and Leaf swag. So we hope you enjoy.
Yeah, you'll definitely enjoy it. I guess you have lots of snacks anyways to enjoy for the games in the future. Yeah. But
moving on. So 2021 so far has started off pretty well. Hockey's back. And for our listeners, we'll be back again in a couple weeks because we're going to be starting our new schedule going to 2 episodes per month.
Yeah, so shout out to all of our listeners. Again, we really appreciate it if you could take a bit of time to give our podcast a review. Whatever app you use, most of you are on Apple, I believe, but there's also Podcast Addict, Podcast Republic. Anywhere you can give us a review, please do. Follow us on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Our handle is at LTL1917. And yeah, we'll keep you informed on what's going on with our Leafs.
Mm-hmm. And we hope you enjoyed our show. And to help us continue with it, please buy us a coffee. We want to give a shout out to Nick Nass, all the way from Melbourne, Australia, for giving us a donation. Thank you so much, Nick. So go to ko-fi.com, ko-fi.com, and you can make a donation using our handle, LTL1917. Find the link on our Buzzsprout website if you're looking for it. You can also email us anytime at ladiestalkingleafs@gmail.com. We want to thank again our friends at Summer Fresh for partnering with us on our summer holiday, our holiday giveaway. We so appreciate their support. And of course, we do want to give a shout out and thank you to all our healthcare workers for everything they're doing to keep us healthy and safe. So yes, stay safe and well, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Later. See you in a couple weeks. Bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.